Hello everyone, this is David G from the Chopra Center for Well-Being. We're in Carlsbad, California, the sweet spot of the universe, and I'm pleased to welcome you to our Manifest Tele-Seminar. Today is March 10th, and according to the seven spiritual laws of success, the seven spiritual laws of yoga, today is the law of least effort. So today is the day when we truly can surrender and not try to impose our will on anyone or anything. It's not necessary to prove we're right today, and it's not critical to insert ourselves into anyone else's thought process. So we figured, what a great opportunity, what a great day for us to just surrender together, share some of the timeless wisdom of manifestation of the Vedas, and we'll have the opportunity to speak with David Simon today, co-founder and medical director of the Chopra Center, and we'll work through a couple of exercises. We'll talk about manifestation, and I think everyone who's on this call will find this a great use or great value of this time that you've committed. We have thousands of people on this call from all over the globe, and there are two ways for people to connect to us. One is to go to webinar, where we have close to over 500 people right now, and the rest of you are on your telephone, whether that's a cell or at your desk or wherever. So we're honored to have assembled this collective consciousness, and thank you for trusting in the universe, and thank you so dearly for trusting in yourself. We are going to specifically discuss manifestation and desire and intentions. And we'll connect a bit by meditating together for a few moments just to share that pure stillness and silence between us from all parts of the globe. I'll speak very, very specifically on some of the key steps to living a life that you deserve, and Dr. Simon will join us in a little bit to share some timeless wisdom, walk us through a few exercises, share openly from his heart. That's one of the beauties of David Simon. He actually speaks through his heart to your heart. It's truly a divine connection. And then he'll open the forum up to Q&A. If you don't know how to Q&A, you can certainly chat. We can see all the chat that you email us. So right now, could you please just share, if you can hear me, just text me back that you can hear me and the volume's fine and you're okay. Great. All right, that was about 200, just flew in there. And if you'd like, if you could share your city or share your country that you're logging in from through that chat, so we can really know how far we're reaching out there. Wow, it's San Diego, Boston, Bellingham, Washington, Oregon, Georgia, Glenhead, New York, Kentucky, Aspen, Toronto, London, Salt Spring Island, British Columbia, Carlsbad, the sweet spot of the universe, Long Beach, Guatemala, Richmond, Austin, Copenhagen, New Haven, Connecticut, Wasaga Beach, Dallas, Mexico City, San Francisco, Kingston, Jamaica, New Jersey, Zagreb, Croatia, Naperville. You get the point. You are beaming into us, and we are beaming to you, connecting these thousands of points of light all over the planet. This is how we transform the world. We transform the world by transforming ourselves. And with this global network right now of those who are opting to manifest, to get closer to their divine source, and to truly learn some tools and techniques to bring you closer to the life that you want, this will be a very, very powerful experience for all of us. If any of you have questions, please feel free to email those questions. A lot of people are saying, but I don't know how to manifest. So take a deep breath in and surrender and You can harness the power of coincidence. You can achieve the spontaneous fulfillment of your deepest desires. And in this next 45 minutes to an hour, we'll share different ways to do that. If you've joined us because you receive our Agni newsletter, you know how important meditation is to Deepak and to David, and how we believe if that's the one thing you take away from the Chopra Center, it be your meditation practice, because that's how you manifest everything that you could ever imagine. We'll talk later at the very, very end. We have a few Chopra Center experiences that we want to invite you to attend, and there are all different levels of them. And so I'll go into greater depth in that if you're ready or desirous of taking a next step with the Chopra Center. So we manifesting. Manifesting is a fairly intense concept, because if we really think about what does that even mean? To manifest something means to move it from the ether, or from the idea, or from the thought, into the tangible, into the real, into the hard aspect of reality. And so to move something from space to earth, to move something from idea to action, to move something from concept to product, to move something from inspiration through motivation, through actually locking it down and getting it done. This is manifestation. It's not really creating something out of nothing. It's planting a seed in fertile soil and nurturing it in the direction that you want it to grow. And so hopefully we will all connect on that level. But one of the most important things is to make sure that soil is fertile. So if you've ever planted grass before, if you've ever planted seeds before, you know, you can't just sprinkle a bag of seeds on a city sidewalk and expect them to magically sprout up. Yes, yes, there'll be some of that grass between the pieces of concrete, between the squares, but you can't pour seeds onto concrete and expect that to thrive. First, what you need to do is till the soil. You need to rake the ground, loosen it up, tenderize it a little bit so that the seeds can even penetrate. You need to truly be in the mindset as you're planting those seeds in soil that you want to make sure that garden, that fertile foundation for whatever you're planting, doesn't have little rocks or stones, doesn't have weeds or any toxic leftovers from past plantings. And that's one of the most important steps that we can take together. So our very, 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 very first step that we need to do is to truly go within. So let's begin by closing our eyes and just breathing together as this collective. We're over 1,000 strong right now. So close your eyes and take a slow, long, deep breath in. And slowly, gently release it. And now let's take another slow, long, deep breath in. And let's let go. Let's take one more slow, deep breath in. And just release. And now with your eyes closed, just gently follow your breath in. And follow your breath out. And just keep gently following your breath And you may have thoughts, you may hear sounds, you may hear my voice or a dog barking in the distance or your stomach gurgling. You may have all these things that you believe may be distractions of just gently following your breath in and following your breath out. But those aren't distractions. That is the meditation. So whatever's coming, watch it come. Watch it go, like a cloud flowing in and then just flowing by. Don't do anything with it and don't feel the need to do anything with it. Just gently breathe and be mindful of every single moment, thought, sound, and physical sensation that's percolating through you. And let's do that together around the world at exactly the same time. And just keep breathing. Always remember to breathe. And now just ever so slowly, when it feels comfortable, you can slowly, slowly, slowly open your eyes. And now obviously not seeing anyone else who's connected to us, let's chant Om together at the same time to herald our oneness and to seal that stillness and silence, that fertile soil that's deep within. So take a deep breath in and just gently release. And take another deep, slow breath in and slowly let it go. And now take a deep breath in, and when we exhale, let's chant Om together one time. And so, over 1,000 of us strong, we've just connected to that stillness and silence that rests within each of us. In Sanskrit, there's that expression, Aham Brahmasmi, I am the universe. And for that minute, and it was a minute that we were together, in total stillness and silence, in more than 14 different time zones, regardless of where we were around the world, at that moment we were truly stillness and silence. And so this is one of the most powerful things that you can do on a regular basis, whether you think that something special was supposed to happen or not. Something special happened. We connected over 1,000 people for a minute in peace, in stillness, and in silence. So I'd like to introduce to you the co-founder and medical director of the Chopra Center, the author of 13 books, his most recent book, Free to Love, Free to Heal, truly how you can heal your body through healing your emotions. This man is a profound healer, he's a practicing physician, often referred to as the mind-body-soul physician of the millennium. And he is a Sufi master. So please join me in welcoming Dr. David Simon.
Great as always to be with your conscious attention. I wanted to read you something that I've been considering from this beautiful book by Osho, also known as Rajneesh, from this book called Courage, The Joy of Living Dangerously. So if you can safely close your eyes, do so and just let these words in, because they've been really nurturing to me. He says, you cannot be truthful if you are not courageous. You cannot be loving if you are not courageous. You cannot know freedom if you are not courageous. Conscious beings remain alert whatsoever the situation and respond to it with their whole heart. Each individual is a freedom. Each individual is an unknown freedom. One never knows what is going to happen. It keeps us continuously in wonder. So don't call it uncertainty. Don't call it uncertainty. Call it wonder. Don't call it insecurity. Call it freedom. So amazing to be reminded by a being that authentically lived in freedom. And, you know, whenever we're hoping to manifest something in our lives, it usually implies at a subtle level that what we want is somewhat different than what we have. Right? And, you know, although we might like to tell each other to be present with what is, to appreciate what is, to be at peace with what is, I really have come to the conclusion that it's the nature of life for us to continuously generate impulses of discontent. It seems as if the very fact that we have taken on an incarnation implies that no matter what's going on in our life, nature will be using us as an instrument to explore something new, to create something more, to manifest something that hasn't been there before. You know, it's funny, for quite a while I've been saying that most people are human doings and we really need to be human beings, but I've actually come to the conclusion that we are human doings, that people are not nouns, they're verbs, they're processes, and that this is the way that evolution unfolds. That the very fact that the unmanifest infinite void decided to manifest as form and phenomenon is an expression that prakriti, that nature, wants to act. In fact, even the word prakriti, which is an Ayurvedic term for that impulse of consciousness to manifest in the world, pra means primary. You may be familiar with the term pranayama or prana, which means the primary or original impulse. And kriti really is the same word, has the same root as the word for karma, which is action. So the nature of nature, prakriti, is really the primary impulse to action. Therefore, it's within our DNA at the deepest level, in our soul at the deepest level, for us to act. I was recently rereading the second chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, extracting some beautiful Vedic chants that we'll be sharing with you sometime in the future. And there's this amazing expression where Krishna, in representing pure consciousness, is talking to Arjuna, who is the kind of primordial warrior, representing really the primordial human being. And basically what he says to Arjuna is that we have control over our choices, we have control over our actions, but we have no real control over the consequences of our actions. Therefore, put all your attention on your action. Now, sometimes when people say, well, you know, I have no control over the consequences of my action, they've interpreted that to mean, therefore, there's no reason to do anything because you never know for sure if your intentions are going to manifest. But in the Gita, it's very clear that having no control over the consequences of our choices doesn't mean we don't make choices. What it really implies is we want to put all of our attention on making the most evolutionary choice possible. If we didn't care about the consequence of a choice, we would never make any choices. We wouldn't take any action. So it's not authentic. It's not realistic. It's hypocritical to say, I don't really care about the consequences of my choices, because we all do. But it's a skill of action to say, don't continuously focus on the consequence of your choice, because if you do, your actual choice will not be as powerful. You know, we probably have all had the experience, let's say you were taking some SAT tests or some, you know, graduate school qualifying exams, and let's say that the first time you took them, you didn't do so well. So you have this memory of not manifesting the outcome that you want, but you've decided, you've taken some preparation course, and you've decided that now you're going to take it again. Well, if you spend the whole time while you're taking the exam either anguishing about the fact that you didn't get a good score last time, or worrying how if you don't get a good score this time, you're not going to get into the graduate school of your choice, the chances are pretty good you're not going to come up with the best answers, and you're going to fulfill the prophecy of not doing as well as you would like. On the other hand, if you can, at least for the moment, relinquish the anguish over the past and not put too much of your attention on the consequences of your choices and simply stay focused with every question, you're more likely to get each question right and to ultimately manifest the deep intended outcome. So in the Gita, Arjuna says that we should not be attached to the outcome of our actions, nor can we be attached in action. It's a great lesson in the skill set of living, which is to get very clear on what is it that we would like to manifest, learn from our past but not be imprisoned by our past, envision the future that we would like to see manifest, a future that we believe will bring us greater happiness, greater success, greater well-being, greater abundance, greater love, greater meaning, greater purpose in our life, and then take the step based upon our current level of awareness that's most likely to move us a step closer to the fulfillment of that intention, but then immediately come back to the present, because most of the time the present is just fine. We may anticipate that the future will be better than the present, but sometimes in the very discontent of striving or craving or grasping after the future, we lose the ability to be fully in the present. You know, the Buddhists like to say that all suffering is due to inclination of the mind. And it's really an interesting word, inclination, because it means to incline. So if you can imagine when you're walking, you're trying to go from here to there, you're always inclining on some level. In fact, walking is sort of controlled falling. It's useful, though, at times to just simply come back to that state of total, self-referred, centered, balanced awareness, and breathe into that space and get clarity in that space, and then more consciously move in the direction that you feel the impulse to grow or to expand. Because if you're inclining all the time, what happens is, and I see this quite often with our guests here at the Chopra Center, is that people are running just to not fall on their faces, and they're so concerned about just keeping their momentum going that they've stopped even wondering or questioning whether or not where they're running towards is where they want to be. And of course, if we're not perpetually conscious of how the choices that we're engaging in are likely to produce the consequences that we're looking for, we may end up getting the consequence, and it may not provide to us exactly what we're looking for. You know, the old expression, be careful what you ask for. You may end up getting it. So this is the skill set. Come to the self. Be present. Go to that deepest level of your being and ask yourself, what do you really want? What do you really need? What are your deepest desires? Imagine how you will feel, how you will think, how you will behave as those desires are fulfilled. Realize that that state of fulfillment is already present for you right now. And then with total detachment. Detachment means, yes, I want this to happen, but if it doesn't happen, I have this complete faith in the wisdom of uncertainty. That if what is happening is not exactly what I thought should happen, something even more magnificent will soon be manifesting in my life. And therefore, I don't have to be living in uncertainty or insecurity. I can be living in a state of wonder and freedom. And that's the technology that I'm practicing. And it's always so interesting when you think that you are doing something with the intention of a particular outcome to manifest. And then, for whatever reason, the particular outcome doesn't seem to show up on time or in the exact way that I would want it to. If I can just simply remind myself to come back to the present, almost immediately something else manifests that I would never have imagined, that is so much more magnificent than anything that I was conceiving of at the time. So I think one of the most important roles that we have with each other as friends and family and members of community and lovers is to keep reminding each other that if things aren't going exactly the way that we want at a time, just take a deep breath, come back into the present, and then watch with wonder and curiosity and freedom what the next manifestation is likely to unfold, and then celebrate the fact that life is this amazing, mysterious journey. Sure. So we're going to address some questions that have come in. Let's see. I can't free myself from demons and my own fears. It's been 5 years. I'm not getting what I want. How does karma affect manifestation? Well, 5 years is a long time. So either at this point you should say, I've chosen to live where all these demons reside because there's something interesting about it, or decide that this is the time to once and forever let go. Now, of course, you know, it's easy to tell someone else to let go. And most of the time when people are struggling with something from their past, if you ask them, do you want to keep this with you, they'll almost always say no. Sometimes it seems as if we're willing to let go of it, but it's not as willing to let go of us. So there's a technology that we have found, that I found personally and in our professional work here, that can be helpful in releasing those attachments. In fact, I just developed this kind of series of affirmations that I tested out on our Perfect Health teachers who are in training this week. So let's do it right now. Let's do it right now and then see if whoever sent in this question, if this is helpful to you at all. So again, if you can sit quietly with your eyes closed, do so. And I'm going to read you 7 affirmations. And I'll read them slowly enough that if you can, just repeat them silently to yourself. Okay, here we go. The first one says, everything that has brought me to this moment has occurred. I resonate, identify, and connect with the web of synchronistic events that has brought me here and now. I'll say it again for you. Everything that has brought me to this moment has occurred. I resonate, identify, and connect with the web of synchronistic events that has brought me here and now. Number 2. Everything that has brought me to this moment has occurred, and those things are now past. I permit myself to relax, release, and allow my life to unfold with grace, freedom, and love. Again, Everything that has brought me to this moment has occurred, and those things are now past. I permit myself to relax, release, and allow my life to unfold with grace, freedom, and love. Number three, I allow complete healing to occur in those places of my body, heart, mind, and soul that have been holding resistance, resentment, regret, fear, or pain. So before I read it a second time, if there's some place in your body that you know that you're holding this pain, put your hand over it right now and just very gently stroke that area in a circular motion as once again you hear this third affirmation. I allow complete healing to occur in those places of my body, heart, mind, and soul that have been holding resistance, resentment, regret, fear, or pain. Number four, I apologize to anyone I have hurt as a result of my constricted awareness, resistance, or fear. I wish them love, healing, happiness, and peace. Again, I apologize to anyone I have hurt as a result of my constricted awareness, resistance, or fear. I wish them love, healing, happiness, and peace. Number five, I forgive anyone with whom I associate my pain, anyone who has caused me sorrow or anguish, including myself, and wish them love, healing, happiness, and peace. I forgive anyone with whom I associate my pain, anyone who has caused me sorrow or anguish, including myself, and wish them love, healing, happiness, and peace. Number six, I, like everyone, deserve a life abundant in unconditional love, healing, happiness, and peace. I, like everyone, deserve a life abundant in unconditional love, healing, happiness, and peace. And then the last one, I commit to a life abundant in love, healing, happiness, and peace. Last time, I commit to a life abundant in love, healing, happiness, and peace. So if any of these seven affirmations resonated with you, what I would suggest is that you do some little ritual before the end of the day that says to you, to your heart, to your soul, to the world, that you're putting to rest something that you've been carrying with you from the past which is not serving you. Maybe that's, you know, throwing a rock into the ocean or burning a piece of paper or doing a dance or burying something in the ground, and demonstrates your commitment to move forward with love, healing, happiness, and peace. Okay, thank you for your sweet attention.
That's beautiful, Dr. Simon. So many people have chatted in that they want to know where they can get a hold of these affirmations because they've been touched so deeply by them.
Them somewhere, G? Send them to people on the call? Yeah, we'll get them to you.
All right, so we have everyone who has logged on here. We have your emails, but you can also send an email to feedback@chopra.com, and we'll make sure that we direct you to a page that will put David's affirmations out there. Thank you so much, Dr. David Simon, and that was just Beautiful. What I would like to share with all of you is that during this process, we've gotten hundreds of questions, and obviously we can't answer all of those questions, but I would like to address a few of the additional questions that did come in. Someone's question is, I'm attached to my physical appearance, and whenever something happens that undermines that, like a pimple, I perceive my nose is big, etc. This ruins my day or my week. What is this that I'm experiencing? How do I fulfill this desire to be beautiful without being attached? This is very difficult for me. Lucas, the reality is that you are beautiful. What you're looking at is your physical body, and then you're judging that, and then you're a little paranoid or a little oversensitive to what others may think about that. There's probably not a trait that you have that does not have this blessed side as well as this other side that you fear or that you're concerned with. I also have what I consider to be a fairly big nose, but that big nose allows me to get the first whiff of flowers as I walk around a corner. It allows me to become balanced more quickly than anyone else in the room when I have a candle burning with some vata oil or some pitta oil. And it's something that I can very comfortably rest my sunglasses on. And now that I live in the sweet spot of the universe where it's always sunny and blue skies and puffy clouds, so when I think of my nose, perhaps as a child, it was something I was oversensitive to, but I embraced that, and that's just me. And we go through periods of time where other aspects of ourself don't convince us that we're so incredible, that we're so magnificent, that we are so divine. But surely you don't think you're just this flesh casing wrapped around some body hanging out here for the span of a lifetime. You are so much deeper than your nose or than your pimple or than anything else. These are the day-to-day physical wearings and tearings on our body. We need to love our body. It's the thing that gets us around here, whatever state it's in, whatever shape it's in. We can always aspire to a higher state of vital energy, a higher state of more perfect health. But when we look to our most authentic selves, which is so much deeper than any flesh casing, we realize that in our most genuine form, we are pure divinity. And that's beyond judgment. That's just flow. That's pure love. That's pure light. So hopefully that helps you. Next time you see someone looking at your nose, smile, because they're looking at you. If they weren't looking at you, then maybe you'd be upset because they weren't looking at you. So always embrace those aspects of you that distinctly are part of who you are. You're not your nose, but you have a nose. And you're not your pimple, but you may have a pimple. So embrace it today. Sadly, a week from now, that pimple will be gone and you'll never have it again. So let's celebrate what is going on right now, if we can. Someone asked for suggestions for meditating when chronic physical pain becomes a distraction. Ralph, get yourself as comfortable as possible. Our school of meditation, this school of meditation that we teach, says comfort is queen, comfort is king. And so cushions, pillows, blankets, get yourself so beautifully suspended that you're almost hanging in a hammock. And if you are uncomfortable, then feel comfortable shifting your position. Someone's asking a question. Is there any destiny, or do we make our own? That's Paula or Paula's question. Wow, this is one of the questions of the ages. Do we make our own? And we would say that everything is a co-creation. We have the universe working. We have us working. And it all depends on what our intention is. So it's, we meet the universe meets us, and if we can connect on a certain plane, that becomes our destiny. Another question, if we accept that uncertainty is all we know for certain, why should we try to create a world according to our desires? Well, we don't have to create a world according to our desires, but we have desires. And that's a very interesting thing. Let me differentiate between, what's the difference between desires and what's the difference between intentions and what's that all about and what's that mean? It's a great question that we can really tap into. Intention and desire are very, very different, because intention takes us, it's sort of like the real power behind desire. Intent alone is very powerful, because intent essentially is desire without attachment to outcome. And that's what uncertainty is. It's, if you can embrace uncertainty, you're embracing detachment to outcome. Desire alone is pretty weak, because desire in most people is attention, but there's a lot of attachment involved in that as well. Whereas intent is that desire with essentially embracing the law of detachment. When you can combine intention and detachment, that leads to life-centered present moment awareness. And when we perform any other action in our life in that present moment awareness, it becomes the most effective. Your intent may be for the future, but your attention is in the present. And as long as your attention is the here and now, then your intent for the future will manifest, because the future is created in the present. I know it sounds like a duh moment, but yeah, we are creating the future right now. In this moment, we have the ability to plant seeds. We must accept the present as it is. And we accept the present and intend the future. So just think that through. We accept the present, but we intend the future. And that way we accept whatever's happening right now, but we still plant seeds for the life we desire. We still plant seeds for things we want to manifest. Everyone wants to feel good. Everyone wants to love. Everyone wants to receive love. Sometimes it's blocked. Sometimes we're in our own way. But everyone wants this in some way, in some aspect. So when you use the word love, how do you define it? For me, in this moment, love is truly looking at everything that I see and feel and touch, and intending for all of those things to be in their highest state, to be nourished, to be embraced, to be empowered, to be smiling, to be pain-free, to be growing, and essentially to be in states of constant transformation. And so it's not always easy. It's not always easy. There are a lot of questions that people have texted in regarding fear. And, fear is a very, very interesting emotion. Many of our decisions, many of our actions and choices come from places of desperation and fear. And that's because we're not trusting in ourselves, and we're not trusting in the divine. And I'm not saying just snap your fingers and make your fear go away. But if you can truly tap into the stillness and silence, as we did earlier, if you can connect to that unconditioned self, the part of you that exists before fear kicked in, before your concerns or conditions painted you into who you are right now, then you won't be reacting to fear. You'll be responding to a certain situation. Some fears are genuine, but we always drive ourselves crazy by infusing our imagination into whatever. We can imagine anything. And so if right now you're really afraid of one thing happening, acknowledge that you made that thing up, and you have presented that thing to yourself pretty much as the most logical thing or the most likely thing that will happen. And And so if you can get to that place where you say, well, I'm afraid of this, and that's because I believe this is the most likely thing that's going to happen, then why not come up with another thing? Why not just come up with some other additional outcome, some additional direction? And this way, okay, you were fixed in what you believed was going to be the one thing. What was going to be the one thing, the one way it was going to happen? Add additional outcomes, add additional likelihoods. And then suddenly you realize, oh, if I have additional likelihoods here, then I can't be fixed on my fear that this is how things are going to flow. That's just in this moment how that actually feels or understand. Someone said, do affirmations really work? We've all heard the expression, fake it till you make it. I believe that if you truly embrace an affirmation, and you truly want it to be in your consciousness, then it becomes you. Isn't there a TV show that you watch a lot? And you watch it so much that you find yourself even mimicking or saying things from various actors, or maybe there's an author that you love and you quote that person. It becomes you. I actually just said that this week to our, we have 40 Perfect Health teachers in training here. Like, how did they become experts in Ayurveda? How did they become experts in mind-body healing? Well, they immersed themselves in the dialogue, talking about balance, eating for balance, meditating. Just that becomes your conversation. That becomes your inner dialogue. And then your inner dialogue becomes your outer dialogue. And that's truly the power step that you take as you move through that process. Deepak wrote this book, The Spontaneous Fulfillment of Desire. It's so powerful because it really speaks to that alignment of aligning your deepest desires and aligning your outside desires, aligning the cosmic flow. The Upanishads, this ancient Vedic text, says you are your deepest driving desire. As is your desire, so is your will. As is your will, so is your deed. As is your deed, so is your destiny. So your deepest desires can become your destiny. But only if you then move it into your words, your thoughts, and then your deeds. And what I like to say is, if you can just lean a little bit closer to what you want, that leaning also moves you away from maybe what isn't serving you so much. And when you can gravitate or lean or take a baby step towards actions, behaviors that are nourishing, you're not doing something else that's not nourishing. And bean by bean, that bag gets filled. Every once in a while in life, we find ourselves at some kind of intersection. It's an intersection where your deepest desires meet an opportunity. Sometimes we call it coincidence, or sometimes we call it being prepared. Wayne Gretzky has said that too. You know, merge divine talent with opportunity, and you get a goal. But sometimes we call it synchrodestiny. And the beauty is that this only occurs, as I'm reminded most recently today by the program consultant goddess Deidre. You know, she reminded me that, you know, the beauty is that, you know, we can tap into all these aspects and manifest everything we want. But there has to be a foundation of being open, of being awake, of being conscious, of being connected to your source, which, of course, the easiest way to do that and the most beautiful way to do that is through meditation. Because what's really happening is that you, through the power of surrender and intention, are aligning the universal flow that is outside of you with the life force, that prana, that is within you. And when you can align that flow that's within you and that flow that's outside of you, we call that synchrodestiny. On my Facebook page a couple of days ago, I put down a famous quote about that in our deepest, deepest stillness and silence, that's when we can truly hear the universe. We often say that prayer is talking to God. Meditation is listening. And so when we can truly have an intention, when we can truly align that intention with what the universe wants, and we can be that thing, we can be that in that moment. Tattvam asi in Sanskrit, that means I am that. This is the thing that gets us off the couch. It's the silent murmur in our mind that finally gives us permission to take a step forward. It's that crystallizing moment where you can see your life in slow motion. We've all seen it in the movies or on TV. A pitcher throws a baseball towards a batter, and the batter sees the ball coming in slow motion, and meanwhile it's a 100-mile-an-hour fastball. Well, we do this through meditation. Through the power of meditation, through the power of tapping into our unconditioned self, through that power and this gentle, gentle practice that we've shared with hundreds of thousands of people around the world, you can truly see your life in slow motion. You can move towards what you really, really, really want. And we call this conscious choice making. So let's just do a small exercise here. Let's close our eyes for a minute. And just take a deep breath in. And then let go. And now ask yourself, very, very gently and tenderly, what do I want my life to look like? Forget where it is right now, but what do I want it to look like tomorrow, next week, next month, 6 months from now, next year? What do I want my life to look like? And just surrender to this. Just let a waterfall of thoughts and ideas and experiences flow into you. And now very gently ask yourself, what is standing in the way right now? What is standing in the way? Is there anything? Is it a roadblock? Is it a speed bump? Is it some limiting belief of yours? Is it fear? And if it is, fear of what? And go deeper if you think you've come up with that. Go deeper even still. What is standing in my way? And get clear on that. If you're already up to five or six or seven things that are standing in the way, try to distill it down to one. Try to drift back down. There's only one thing standing in the way of you taking whatever that first step is. So let's get rid of all the excuses and come up with what we really think. What is that thing? Try not to make this another person. We're talking about you right now. Now take a deep breath in and let's release that, whatever that thing was that's standing in the way. And let's get a little clearer now. What step can I take right now to move my life from where it is to where I want it to be? What step can I take right now, today? As David said, make it an action, not some theoretical thing you're going to do in a month. Getting on the phone, actually taking a step closer, texting someone, letting go of something that you have been promising yourself you would let go of for years. Or opening yourself up to something you said you'd be open to for years. You just have to lean. You just have to lean. What step can you take right now to move your life from where you are to where you want to be? David Simon wrote this book, The Ten Commitments, Translating Good Intentions into Great Choices. You know, it's meant to be that commandments sort of direct us, but they don't keep us engaged. Commitment is one pointed intention toward the fulfillment of your deepest desires. Commitment, when we initiate commitment at a deep level of awareness, it orchestrates its own fulfillment if you're committed. The organization of nature's forces to fulfill your intentions occurs as the result of a shift in meaning, in context, in everything you've ever thought, because now you're committed to it. Now it's burning inside you. Now you're moving closer to it. Now it's not something that someone put on you. It's something you did internally. When you recognize that your reality is the selective act of attention, where you put your attention, and interpretation, then you realize you are capable of consciously creating every single moment in your life. We are the masters of each moment. We are the masters of each moment. Like a newborn infant that emerges from the womb, our intention, like that infant, can carry the power of commitment through its birth, through its manifestation, through its fulfillment. But there's no going back. That baby's not going back in the womb. Once you give yourself permission to take the step towards transformation, towards manifestation, towards this evolution, you can never be squeezed back into your previously constricted space. Commitment allows us to take these huge leaps in creativity, which opens up the possibility for additional dimensions of awareness. Commitment provides the technology that allows us to break habits that are constricting us in our self-imposed prison of conditioning. And through the power of your commitment, your personal intentions engage the forces of nature, so that essentially fulfillment becomes your daily reality. I want to thank everyone for joining us during this. If you have been moved in any way during these few moments that we've shared together, then I encourage you to right now close your eyes, place your hand on your heart, and ask yourself, am I ready to take my life to another level? Am I open to receive all the freedom, happiness, and fulfillment to which I am entitled? Ask yourself, do I deserve to be happy in this life? Do I deserve the opportunity to write the next chapter of my life? If the answer is no, if you've answered no, then rethink these questions. Maybe ask yourself, are you willing to give yourself permission to do a little deeper digging? Because you do deserve to be happy in this life. You do deserve, you're entitled to, it's your birthright to be able to write the next chapter of your life in this moment. And if the answer is yes, if you've answered yes to these questions, then I encourage you to join Deepak Chopra, to join David Simon, to join me and the loving, supportive, powerful team at the Chopra Center for one of our experiences, specifically an experience of manifestation. Because if you can commit to that, then learning to meditate and learning to forgive yourself, then learning to forgive others or take a bold step that had previously frightened you, will transform you forever. The Chopra Center offers experiences that will help release you from pain, empower you to tap into the infinite, your most divine self, the god or goddess in embryo, or maybe even open your eyes to a world and a life you only dreamed of. Everyone who's come to the Chopra Center, whether as a guest or as an employee or a staff member, all came because we were seeking something. We were looking for something more. And at times it seemed overwhelming or daunting. But we gave ourselves permission to take that step. So I encourage you to join us. And if you have a computer or a Mac or an iPhone or a CrackBerry or a smartphone or a dumb phone or anything where you can type a URL in, I encourage you to visit us at chopra.com/manifest now, manifestnow, as in now. And we've created some very, very special opportunities for anyone who's on this call. We're not announcing this to the world. We're only making this available to the people on this call. And we have three different directions and three different opportunities for you to tap into. And if you want to manifest your deepest desires, then synchrodestiny is your journey. And if you are interested in tapping into really getting some emotional healing, then free to love is where you can manifest that emotional healing. And that's just a weekend. And if you're not sure where to start or what to do, and you try different things and you're stumbling along and you don't want to really invest that much, but you want to take a peek of what the fulfillment of your deepest desires could really look like, then I encourage you to visit us at A Weekend Within. Again, it's a Friday, Saturday, Sunday experience with Deepak Chopra, David Simon, me, Claire Diab, who's the director of the Seven Spiritual Laws of Yoga teacher training, and so many other members of our team. You'll learn primordial sound meditation. You'll learn seven spiritual laws of yoga. We will practice every day. And if your heart is heavy, come to Free to Love and have David Simon walk you through his five-step emotional healing process, which will find your pain, mobilize it, release it finally, and then fill yourself with unconditional love. And for those of you who really want to tap into the spontaneous fulfillment of your deepest desires and learn to harness the power of coincidence, I encourage you to join us at Synchro Destiny, where Deepak truly teaches us how to take our lives to the next level, how to empower ourselves through ancient techniques that rishis and seers and practitioners alike have used for thousands of years. And if you enroll in any of these programs, we have a special offer. You'll receive a book as well, Seven Spiritual Laws of Yoga, or Free to Love, or The Spontaneous Fulfillment of Desire. We've also created very, very, very attractive low barrier tuition for everyone on this call, so you could truly reach out. For example, at Synchro Destiny, if you would enroll in our Synchro Destiny that's happening in Taos, New Mexico, you'll experience close to $1,000 of savings in tuition. So I encourage you to visit chopra.com/manifest now. Let's all seal this global intention. We've got thousands of people still connected right now at this very, very moment. But let's truly give ourselves permission right now, whether you're going to join the Chopra Center or whether you're going to tap into our online free library or whether you're going to visit us or any of our online courses that we're developing right now, or become a teacher, or you're just looking to heal a certain aspect of yourself. If each of us right now could place our hand on our heart, take a deep breath in and feel that heart move into the palm of our hand and know that we are indeed connected to each other. There are people from Muscat, Oman, Korea, Iran, South America, Alaska, Manitoba, London, and so many other cities throughout the world. We are connected right now. And as you take a deep breath in and feel your heart rise into your palm, know that we have one choice in life. We can lead with love, or we can choose not to. And so why would you not open your heart to whatever the universe wants to gift you? All that sweetness that you are entitled to, that you deserve. And on behalf of Deepak Chopra, David Simon, the two co-founders of the Chopra Center for Well-Being, and our magnificent, nurturing, loving staff whose dharma, whose purpose in life is to serve those who are unsure about where their steps on the path are, whether they're our program consultants or whether they're our staff at our events or our healing team of perfect health. If you want to reach out and connect and find out what's the most appropriate next step for you, you can dial 760-494-1639 or you can log on to chopra.com/manifest now. From the sweet spot of the universe, this is David G. Namaste. Thank you so much for joining us, and I look forward to speaking with you, or at least seeing you, in the gap. Peace.